guys. Keith here with the Jaeger firing over the weekend. I thought I would just check in real quick, give John Burr a call so we as Grizzlies fans could talk about the Jaeger firing and give our brief opinions to you about what happened there. Spoiler, we're both totally fine with it, and John might even be ecstatic about it. So, thanks for listening in here. I'm going to call John. John, you there?
Aloha.
Hey, John. Welcome back from the Derby.
Yes, indeed.
It looks like your biggest bet paid off. You have a winner. Jaeger is no longer the coach of the Memphis Grizzlies.
It was a hell of a weekend. Did you know I hit the trifecta?
No. What's your trifecta?
I hit the actual Derby trifecta.
Oh, really? Nice.
I moved to the other side of this house to escape an air conditioner. Now a woman, an elderly woman, is weed whacking nary 20 feet away from me.
I felt like I heard a bird earlier. God. It's like you are out in nature living it. What does the trifecta pay these days?
It was a $2 bet, and it paid like $234.
That's amazing.
And I placed a bunch of bets for Chuck, and they all died horribly on the vine.
That's the touch of Chuck. I'm calling you just because I feel like some people wanted to hear
that's
as
the biggest
Grizzlies
bet
fans,
we won was the Jaeger bomb.
As Grizzlies fans, people wanted to hear our opinion. So a little emergency podcast phone call. You don't really like Jaeger as a head coach. You're happy to see him go. Why is that exactly?
Well, I was pro Jaeger when we hired him because I thought it would be like a culture change and a breath of fresh air after Prickly Bear Hollins, who had his pros and his cons, but ultimately I didn't think we could go any further than we had. But then Jaeger was really just Lionel Hollins again with better after timeout plays and worse timeout and clock management.
I think that's accurate. I think a lot of people thought that the breath of fresh air was going to be Jaeger changing up, starting to actually develop young talent.
Arguably worse at it than Hollins.
Yeah, it's hard. I mean, Lionel Hollins' great thing was he verbally abused Conley to the point that made Conley better,
right,
or something. So I guess that's like his big calling card on his resume. So Jaeger was... I'm mixed because I like Jaeger as a coach. I think he's definitely, you know, top half of the league.
I agree.
Coach. And so there still is that uncertainty of will they bring in someone worse? Will we end up with a Patrick Ewing or a Brian Shaw?
I feel like this was like a domino effect of Vogel's firing.
Oh, you think there's a... I don't think there's any relation whatsoever.
This could just be very intensely wishful thinking on my part.
No, right. I mean, I think Vogel is the rich man's Jaeger.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, they're similar, but Vogel absolutely appears to be willing to try different lineups. And I mean, he experimented all year, and I think Miles Turner, the way he used him was exceptional.
Right.
He had Miles Turner playing at an all-star level at a point in the season. I think a lot of it had to do with how he kind of nursed him into the lineup.
Right.
So in that way, he's like the anti-Jaeger to me.
That makes sense. I think to wrap up, or just to explain to people or to other Grizzlies fans, because I think a lot of fans are upset and they feel like this is a sign of front office instability with the Grizzlies, which it might actually be because, again, no one in the Grizzlies local media... You're like Snow White. I got to comment on that bird. That bird, beautiful. Beautiful scene. Anyway, the Grizzlies front office, you know, there still is. No one can seem to get to the bottom of who actually is in charge.
Is Chris Wallace gone? What's happening?
No, I mean, Chris Wallace apparently, you know, was reported by USA Today and ESPN that he interviewed for an assistant GM position with the Kings, but then Chris Wallace denies it. But to me, that doesn't even matter. I think the reason... If I ignore whatever rumblings about whatever weird front office dynamic is going on, the change of Jaeger's coach doesn't concern me. And also, I feel like these front office stories are just off-season stories that don't actually have any bearing on the actual winning of games. My take on being not concerned about Jaeger leaving is, again, I don't feel like he developed the young talent. He got real pouty over them not drafting Rodney Hood in drafting Jordan Adams instead. And he kept citing that. And that's why he got so, I don't know, he got so belligerent towards the front office about it.
He seems, you know, very much a malcontent.
I mean, there's a way to look at that. It seems like he was definitely pouty about it, but I think his track record shows that he, even if they had Rodney Hood, there's no evidence he would have played him. Like,
right.
He was,
almost certainly would not have. I would say.
This is a guy who didn't play the young guys until they were overcome with incredible injury. He kept Ryan Hollins and he pouted that he didn't get Ryan Hollins after training camp. They ended up letting Russ Smith go and James Ennis go during various points of the season to keep Ryan Hollins. And so, like, that doesn't show that he wants to develop the young guys when definitely all those minutes should have been going to Jarrell Martin or JaMychal Green.
Dave Yeager is like Harry Truman. Everything he's lauded for is entirely circumstantial. And then what he'll be remembered for is like horrible things like Hiroshima and playing Xavier Munford.
I mean, even if you like the Xavier Munfords of the world,
right.
And I kind of like the Briante Weber, but I think, you know, he eventually got let go to keep, they decided he wasn't a fit for the future.
So I mean, just look at the stubbornness of this man. He would play the same horrific Jeff Green starting lineup over and over and over again and would continue growing out that anus-looking goatee repeatedly.
Yeah, two incredible examples of stubbornness.
Yes.
And you see this as a man.
No one has goatees anymore except for youth pastors.
Yeah, I know. Well documented on our podcast. But I look back to his first year where I want to give him some leeway because it was him learning to be a head coach and him establishing himself. But even back then, it was one of the most talented Grizzlies rosters we ever saw.
Right.
But he was still playing John Luehr over Ed Davis and James Johnson back on those years.
Who have gone on to become, you know, relatively useful players in their respective homes, especially Ed Davis. And we could never get Ed Davis on the floor.
Right. And so I go back to that game seven.
It took a nuclear strike on us for us to play like JaMychal Green and stuff like that.
Exactly. And then Yeager was getting all kinds of credit for holding the team together and this narrative of he still made the playoffs with this 28-man roster.
Whatever. He won like three games with this with the screwed up roster.
Well, it's like they were 13 games over 500 when I think Chalmers finally went down. And I guess he gets some credit for not letting the team quit, but I don't buy that narrative as much because you have a veteran-laden locker room and a lot of those guys on expiring contracts.
The only person who deserves less credit for making the playoffs is Quinn Snyder. That's the only. Yeah. I don't even understand how the Grizzlies made the playoffs. It took every other contending team collectively filling their pants for us to make the playoffs.
And we thought to make the playoffs would take 48, 50 wins at the start of the season. It turned out it only took 42 wins.
Yes. Yeah,
so, I mean,
the narrative is just untrue.
Yeah, the narrative is untrue. But
I plead with the listeners to go back and listen to your verbal takedown of Chuck when Chuck cited Yeager as coach of the year.
Again, and I don't want to get too, I don't want to just, I don't know, like shovel dirt on him. I think he's a good coach. I think he's an above average coach.
I was happy for him to be the Grizz coach. I think his true calling is as an assistant though.
Because I don't see the
Grizz team, like all the leadership seems to come from players now and I know we both feel the same way that coaches in the end are only worth about 10 wins, 10 losses. But
that's the elite.
The coaches used to rally around Lionel Hollins, at least. Or excuse me, the players used to at least rally around Lionel Hollins, and nobody's rallying around Dave Yeager.
Well, I think it's really strange too. His landing spot hasn't totally been nailed down, but seems certainly it's going to be the Kings.
And hilarious.
That story is hilarious. Yeah, the idea of slump-shouldered, goatee-faced Yeager trying to handle Boogie is pure comedy. And
Boogie
I can't
Cousins
even.
Will is going to PJ Carlissimo him by the end of the season.
I mean, I feel good for Yeager. I thank him for his service to the Grizzlies, but the concept that he's going to handle Boogie, this is just a big pay raise for the Yeager family. The Yeager household is getting $16 million, and he's going to be looking for a job in a couple years.
I don't feel sorry for Dave at all. What is he getting, $16 million for a 4-year contract, something like that?
Right, and I assume he's going to get almost all that money.
That's a $2 million raise at least.
Yeah, yeah, it's a bump up from the $2 million he was getting with the Grizz. So, I mean, I think Kings fans and all of us, I guess, as sports fans, we have a tendency to be optimistic about new hirings. We try to spin it the best way. So I understand Kings fans being like, "Yeah, this is great. Like, we're getting this guy." But I mean, Jaeger doesn't have anything in his history. Like, he couldn't convince Mike Conley and Mark Gasol, who are lauded as being, you know, two of the best teammate, locker room, sportsmanship type guys. He couldn't get those guys to buy in to his system after 3 years. So the idea of him taking this malcontent Boogie Cousins and being able to teach him is comical.
Oh, Rajon and Boogie are going to, like, there's going to be some, I'm trying to figure out a way to say this without you having to censor me. There's going to be some mind games.
Yeah, yeah, there's going to be good. Maybe he'll get
some serious mind games.
Maybe Kufis will have his back, though.
Well, maybe that's why he went. He remembered Costa fondly.
He might be able to work out to get his nesting doll buddy, Nick Calathes, back on the team.
Have you seen, have you been keeping up with the rest of the series?
Oh, yeah, but let's not dive in there. This is Jaeger only emergency.
Jaeger yeah. cast.
Yeah, so I think just to wrap up, as Grizzlies fans, we're happy, we're thankful for what Jaeger did. He did hard work. We think he's a smart, good coach. But I don't feel he entered the echelon of coaches that move the needle much.
No.
And so I feel like you can definitely get a good replacement, a capable replacement, possibly a better replacement who will work with this roster. And again, the question is always, it's always who's on the team, you know? And so there's a lot of questions for the Grizzlies offseason based on that, but I don't think losing Jaeger is a big deal for this roster going forward. And so as a Grizz fan, I'm not really torn up about it. Of course, if they hire Mark Jackson, I will be furious.
I have friends who have said if Mark Jackson brings his street preacher shenanigans to Memphis, that they're going to the Hawks. I'm serious.
I will cancel my season tickets. I'm telling you right now.
You need to go. We need to start a rallying cry because yeah, the Mark Jackson thing would deeply wound me.
Yeah,
that's a bigger story than what we've just been talking about.
Yeah, it is. Anyway, but I think that's good. We'll
are you
we'll
gonna
get
call Chuck to get the uneducated Lord. Fans' opinion?
Lord, no. This is you got to have your Grizzlies, you got to have your Grizzlies fan card for this phone call.
That's right. They got to swipe it. They got to put it in the chip reader.
Exactly. All right. Well, you have a good rest of the day in your little Snow White world with the breeze and the birds and the deer feet eating out of your hand.
More sports, more gambling, less outdoorsness.
Exactly.
Not an outdoorsman, more of an indoorsman.
All right, John. Thanks for checking in.
Ta-ta.
See ya. All right, so there you have it. Thanks for listening in. Catch us later this week with a full episode of Fast Break Breakfast, NBA Podcast.